What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Oh, it's list season. This is what we usually would be arguing about. But we're not arguing about it right now because soccer is here. I'm sure we'll get back to arguing about soccer coming up in a bit. But for right now, this is what we got. So ESPN, every year, they do a list where every day they give you the top 10 ranking at an individual position. So there are 70 people that are asked to vote. It's media, coaches, general managers, scouts, etc. This is one of my favorite off-season things. I really like this, Rob, and then I like the Mike Sando ESPN athletic piece about the quarterback tier. Those are two of my favorite off-season things that we have. So let's go down the list because we are three into this, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. On Monday, they started a running back. Rob, this is who they have as the top 10 running backs in the National Football League. Breece Hall is number 10. Kenneth Walker at number 9. Devon Achane at 8. James Cook at 7. Derrick Henry at 6. Top 5. Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs, and number 1 on the list is Bijan Robinson. Not a single person who voted on this had Bijan ranked lower than 2. So he was 1 or 2 on everybody's list that did that. You know what? As we begin this conversation, I don't have any problem with this list. Sure, I might put one person a little bit higher than maybe they ended up on this list. But for the most part, I think this is a pretty strong list. And it goes to, Rob, I think a disagreement that you and I have about what adding one of these running backs means to your team. Now, I'm not here to tell you that I think Kenneth Walker is Devon Achane, or that I think he's Christian McCaffrey, but to be a top 10 running back, according to the people that do this, and certainly one of the better running backs in the National Football League, is a noticeable difference, I think, for their offense. And I think it will be something very tangible that you will see the effect that it has on their offense, and more specifically, and just open things up in terms of passing lane and pressure on the wide receivers on the outside. I've always liked the Kenneth Walker move. I continue to like the Kenneth Walker move. We'll go through how they kind of described him a little bit. But Kenneth Walker coming in at number 9. But back to the whole list, I don't really have a problem with this list. There's not really much for me to argue about when it comes to it.
I actually don't have much argument either. I don't know I have Kenneth Walker as a top 10 back, but I think he's like 11, 12. So, like, there's no point in splitting
hairs. He's in that range, for sure.
He's right. If they had him at like 7 or 5, I'd have qualms. That list is probably right off the
top
of my
head. Honorable mention guys. So Josh Jacobs came in at 11th. Kyren Williams was at 12. Quinshon Judkins was at 13, followed by DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, he's in right in that category.
I think that's a fair way of assessing his game. He's somewhere in that range. Now, I will say, I do think there's a noticeable difference between him and Devon Achane. Like, Achane is at 8, Kenneth Walker is at 9. I'd rather have Devon Achane than have Kenneth Walker. That wasn't the conversation, but I would say that's maybe where you start to see the gap, where these guys, I would say, are all noticeably better than him. James Cook, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor up. I think that's a different tier of running back than where I see Kenneth Walker, but I still think he's going to be a very productive running back. So, good. We don't have to argue about that. So, second day was cornerback. Here's the list that they had. Number 10 on the cornerback list was Cooper DeJean. Number 9 was Sauce Gardner. Number 8 was J.C. Horn. Number 7 was Denzel Ward. 6 was Quinyon Mitchell. 5, Trent McDuffie. 4 was Devon Witherspoon with the Seahawks. 3 was Christian Gonzalez. 2 was Derek Stingley Jr. And number 1 was Patrick Surtain II for the second consecutive year. He was ranked number 1 on their list. Also going to say, maybe this doesn't make it a too compelling of a segment. I don't really have much of an issue with that list. I think that's it. Now, I will say this, and maybe this is where we get to the compelling part, is the perception about Trent McDuffie outside of Kansas City is radically different than the conversation people are having about him on the list. Last year, Trent McDuffie was 4 on the list. He's 5 on the list. Somebody on their ballot ranked him as number 3 on the list. There is a perception in McDuffie that he is one of the 5 best corners in the National Football League. I don't really know if in Kansas City a lot of people feel like Trent McDuffie is one of the 5 best corners in the league. Somebody is right, somebody is wrong on this thing. I'm just here, I'm the messenger here. And I'm telling you that the football people love him. One of the quotes, he is one of the top coverage corners in the league. He can cover on the perimeter or in the slot, can play man or zone, pressure the quarterback, play cover 2, jam and reroute. He has plus zone vision. We also saw what he went for. He also went for a pretty decent package. Another player described him as an outstanding open field tackler who is always in position to make the play. You're going to have to beat him because he won't beat himself. I do feel like Trent McDuffie is a very, very solid corner that doesn't have a lot of holes in his game. And when you look at a lot of these corners at that level, there's a lot that you can kind of pick holes in. I feel like he has fewer weaknesses than most.
I understand maybe a little bit why Chiefs fans were so fine getting rid of him. And so, hey, it's time to move on and all the things. I understand it. I think it's born out of the fact that Brett Veach just keeps finding them. He keeps finding elite corners. They play elite here. They move on. That has been the system. So I understand why Chiefs fans were cool with moving on. But the amount of arguments we had with the text line last December, January, February, ahead of his trade, that was like, he's probably a top 5, top 6 corner in the league, and everyone went out of their way, fell over themselves to point out his flaws, will always puzzle me. He is an elite corner. Is he Surtain? No. But he is definitely one of the better tier 2 corners in the NFL, and I'm happy he's getting his kudos. 4 or 5 is about right in the NFL for Trent McDuffie.
Let me ask you these two questions related to this conversation. You remember that line on Coming to America where Eddie Murphy is just like, you know, I want to find out what you like. And the woman's like, whatever it is you like. I feel like there was a time there, that's kind of how Chiefs fans were acting with Brett Veach. That whatever Brett Veach valued, you valued. You remember there was a time where it was our number one priority is to protect Patrick Mahomes. All of our resources need to be into protecting Patrick Mahomes. So we were throwing a bunch of money at left tackle, a bunch of money at center, a bunch of money at right guard. And even though, Rob, you and I were arguing that we didn't like the position value, the sentiment was we got to protect Patrick Mahomes. I feel like if Brett Veach's mantra was we pay corners, I feel like the Chiefs' kingdom would have been on the side of paying corners. But we know what their model is. That's not what they spend their money on. The Chiefs spend their money on certain things. You can't argue that they don't. They spend their money on the offensive line. They spend money on the defensive line. They spend money at quarterback. They're very aggressive in certain situations. At corner, they've told you repeatedly, that's not something that we think is worth paying for, which leads us back to the delaying conversation. I've got a question related to that, but I do wonder how much of the Trent McDuffie conversation just stemmed from Chiefs fans knowing that this was never going to be a long-term arrangement. This was never going to be a long-term situation because Brett Veach has never shown you that that is a position that he's willing to pay. Where if Trent McDuffie played right guard, they would have made him one of the 10 highest paid offensive linemen in the league.
Do you think, I agree with your point. Do you think some of that shine is starting to fade off? Because there was a time last offseason where me and you in the text line, to your point, said, yo, paying a right guard's dumb. And we were absolutely crushed. This offseason, you talk about Brett Veach in the text line, it's a little more mixed. Not everyone's just falling in line the same way they used to.
Also coming off 6-11.
That's fair.
Let them start winning again and Shine's let them back. Start off 7-2. Oh, you won't be able to argue anything about Brett Veach. You know how it goes. It's the motion. It's the up and down.
To be fair, though, they're 3-4, and that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's getting fired. He's getting fired on the text line, man. Yeah, he's getting fired. He's getting fired, and the scheme also doesn't work. We know that. We know that much. Those two things are going to happen. This is my Mansoor Delane question. Where does he have to be on this list by the end of year two? I ask that question because if you spend the 6th overall pick on a cornerback, he needs to be considered to be one of the best. If you were telling me that you spent the 6th overall pick on a corner, the league needs to see him the way they see Cooper DeJean. The league thinks Cooper DeJean is very good. 23 years old, he's on this top 10 list. The league needs to see him the way they see Sauce Gardner or J.C. Horn or Denzel Ward or Quinyon Mitchell. I'm not saying he needs to be Patrick Surtain. I think Patrick Surtain one day is going to go into the Hall of Fame. I think he is the best cornerback of his era. I think he's that good. But they need to look at him the way they look at Quinyon Mitchell. They need to look at him as being one of those kind of guys. He needs to be on this list by the end of year two. Not by the end of year one, but halfway through that rookie deal and a year before we start having the conversation about the option, he needs to be widely considered by his peers as one of the 10 best corners in the National Football League.
Let me ask you this. Does he need to pass McDuffie at some point? Because I know that it wasn't a one-for-one. I'm aware that wasn't a one-for-one
trade. Yeah, I get the question that you're asking.
Because, like, if it's a top 10 list in 2028, and he's at that point where you said, and he's 6, and he checks that box.
I don't think people are going to be mad if he's Quinyon Mitchell.
Okay. Even if McDuffie turns into number 3 on the list.
Yeah, I don't think people are rating it in that way. Like, I think people see Quinyon Mitchell as a dog and think that he can be a true number one that can match up with just about anybody. Quinyon Mitchell is somebody you would want to pay. Like, even if the perception is that Quinyon Mitchell isn't the player that Trent McDuffie is, if you're telling me that's who he turns into, if you're telling me Mansoor Delane is the exact same player that Quinyon Mitchell is, I will be advocating for the Chiefs to pay him. I will be advocating that it's time to open up the piggy bank and you spent all of this draft pick compensation on this guy. You got a 24-year-old corner who's one of the best young corners in the league. You need to pay him. That is the side that I will be on. Now, there is one more of these top 10 lists. They concluded this with pass rush. Now, let me tell you, there ain't no Chiefs names on here. Shouldn't come as a shock to any of you.
No way.
Rob, they're not even an honorable mention. They're not even an honorable mention or others receiving votes. Now, I think that Chris Jones is going to be in a different conversation. They're going to have one specifically for D tackles. I do think Chris Jones will obviously be on that list. He's one of the top 10 defensive tackles in the NFL. Pass rush is a different beast. They gave a lot of money to a dude that the NFL is somewhat lukewarm on. I mean, I'm looking at the guys they gave others receiving votes to. I mean, Trayvon Walker is in the others receiving votes. Your guy, Jalen Phillips, is in the others receiving votes. Montez Sweat, like, we don't even got to get to these top dudes. Y'all already know that's not what George Karlaftis is. Like, here's the top 10 list. Nick Benito, Brian Burns, Nick Bosa, TJ Watt, Danielle Hunter, Aiden Hutchinson, Max Crosby, Will Anderson, Micah Parsons, and number one on this list, you guys can all imagine, Myles Garrett. Every single person who filled out the survey had Myles Garrett as the best pass rusher in the National Football League. There's no shock. I actually think that Myles Garrett is the best player in the league, regardless of position, but that's a different conversation we don't have to dive into. It would be nice. It'd be nice if at the end of this season, George Karlaftis is at least in the honorable mention. Nobody even thought about George Karlaftis when filling this out. They need that to be the case. They really do.
Or R. Mason Thomas becomes a Nick Benito type. Because Nick Benito's not like some 10-year pro. That's the other option on the Chiefs pass rush.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he can't do it. I'd be a little bit surprised if that happened after year one. Maybe year two, year three for sure. But like, it took Benito a little bit. Like, Nick Benito, his first year, got 1.5 sacks. His second year, he got 8 sacks. And then he turned into a beast. In 2024, he had 13.5, and in 2025, he had 14 sacks, and I think he had an argument for Defensive Player of the Year. He certainly was one of those guys that early on you thought had a chance to potentially win the award, and Myles Garrett ended up breaking the sack record. But, yeah, I don't think R. Mason Thomas needs to be on this list next year. I mean, it'd be great. I mean, obviously, it'd be great. But, yeah, I mean, George Karlaftis needs to at least be in the honorable mention conversation. There's no reason not to be in the honorable mention conversation, given the amount of money and resources that they've paid him.
I am higher on him than you are, but there is no doubt he regressed last year. I think there's a chance, and they're betting on him being more like he was in 2024, but based on 2025, he has absolutely no business in that group. I think he can get to Trayvon Walker. I think he can be that guy. Trayvon Walker, I know, was the number one overall pick. I get that there's some cachet to that, but Trayvon Walker in Jacksonville has not been Aiden Hutchinson. You can easily have him be that kind of guy.
He's got 2 seasons of double-digit sacks. Karlaftis has never done that once.
Karlaftis has a double-digit season.
He does? Okay.
I thought he had 110. Maybe it's 9.5. I think he has a 10.
Hold on. Let me look it up here.
I thought it was 8.
Yeah, his second year, he had 10.5. Then he had 8 and then 6.
Yeah, so he's been hovering around 8, 9, 10. He can have another double-digit sack season.
Yeah, you go put that number up this next season. You go put up 10.5, 11 sacks. And you take over as being the pass rusher for the Chiefs, you'll start to get that national love. You'll start to get that national praise. So I want to share that with you. We'll be kind of doing this periodically over the course of the next couple of weeks. ESPN, they have a top 10 list going for every position in the NFL. They've already done running back, corner. Today was edge rusher, and the list will continue on. All right, coming up on the other side, let's get back to talking about the Kansas City Royals and Jack Caglione. He's going to participate in the Home Run Derby. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for K-State Athletics. 96.5, The Fan.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, Every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. It's truly an honor and a privilege to be here with you. I would like to play a little audio for you guys. Congratulations to Jack Caglione. He is going to be participating in this year's Home Run Derby.
All right, Jack, you got an announcement to make?
Yeah. I was approached, you know, a couple days ago and got asked to do the Home Run Derby, and I think I'm going to do it this year.
Go. Hey, my dad go. Throw me. Who's going to throw to you?
My pops.
Yes, baby. Let's go. He's going to be more nervous than you.
No, he's got ice in his veins.
Does he really?
Yeah. Yeah, he threw in the Fall League Home Run Derby to me. Yeah. Never doing this one. It's going to be great.
Rob, man, I love that baseball players take participating in the Home Run Derby as a point of pride and want to do it. We can never get the Jack Caglione equivalent to do the NBA slam dunk contest. Never. We never get that person to do it. You get four random people that you never heard of before. It's so bad. They got to start going to the G League to find their participants for the dunk contest. It's that nasty out here when it comes to it. I'm happy that Jack Caglione is doing this. It's a young player that you want to see hit home runs. Good. JJ Piccolo, he was on the Midday Show earlier today, and he was asked about this, and here's what he had to say about Cags.
If he gets asked, you know, he's got a chance to win it. You know, I don't doubt that. You know, we've watched him put on shows in BP, and you know, the thing that's unique to him, we're seeing it in the regular in game at bats too. He's got power the other way that's really incredible. I mean, you don't see left-handed hitters hit balls to left field the way he does, and there are no doubters off his bat, so that's special as well.
That was J.J. Piccolo talking about Jack Caglione and him having a chance to potentially win the Home Run Derby. Last piece of audio I want to play for you guys. This is our guy Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Here was his reaction to Cags making the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, certainly anyone that's watched Cags understands the power that the 23-year-old possesses. To me, the takeaway is this is clearly Major League Baseball, understandably so, as we've talked about and you guys talked about as you made the trip down to watch him a few years ago, or last year, I guess, at the AA ranks. When you're that big, you're that strong, and that beautiful, man, this is the type of guy that Major League Baseball wants to promote, that they want to be one of the faces of the game because, I mean, look at the very talented, a top six pick, pitch and hit at Florida. So the name was known in certain baseball circles when he came out, but man, you look at the numbers this season, there are 49 guys that have more home runs than Jack Caglione, and yet, even though he might not be an all-star when it's all said and done, they want him to be a part of the festivities. That shows you that, like Bobby Witt Jr., this is a guy that Major League Baseball is going to put their full force behind.
Rob, isn't this exactly what we've been asking baseball to do? Like, the concept of this, is this not what we've been asking baseball to do? Highlight and promote young players and give them this kind of platform. Put them in these kind of events. Showcase them. I think baseball deserves a lot of credit for the changes that we've seen baseball go through over the last couple of years. They are certainly trying to get their television deal in order. I think that's going to be a major point once they get the CBA figured out. But there is certainly more of a baseball presence on network television. On the day after Independence Day, on July 5th, they called it, it was Star Spangled Sunday. Every team in Major League Baseball either played on Peacock or played on NBC. So they are trying to have more of a network television feel. They brought back the Field of Dreams game this year. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. The Home Run Derby is now moved to a streamer. I feel like baseball's trying to do a lot of the modern things that people ask them to do. But from a player marketing standpoint, this is what you want. You've got a young 23-year-old up-and-coming player. You want his involvement in this. You obviously need some of the stars to do it, and we'll see who else signs up for the Home Run Derby. But you need guys like Jack Caglione to keep the legacy alive and want to do it. So I think this is a really good move for baseball.
I think Rob Manfred's been on a heater. Like, basically ever since he said that thing about the World Series trophy just being a chunk of metal, hunk of metal, whatever he said after
about the Astros.
And I think he handled the Astros thing bad. Basically, ever since then, the changes we've seen instituted in baseball have been a positive. You've seen they are slowly but surely moving away from the RSN model, and MLB is starting to handle in-house TV rights.
I think that's going to be the standard here in about 3-4 years.
I agree. That's a huge step, though. You mentioned they are moving now to network television. They had the snafu with ESPN, but they quickly ran over to NBC, which I think might be better for them long-term than Sunday Night Baseball and ESPN. They get their biggest stars to play in the Home Run Derby. The NBA can't get people you've ever heard of to be in the dunk contest. That's a win. Rob Manfred's heater will be on the test this offseason because this CBA is going to be an enormous undertaking. But ever since the hunk of metal to now, Rob Manfred's changes, including the pitch clock, which I forgot to mention, have all been great for the game.
He's listening. That's what's happening. He's listening. Now, he has by far and away his biggest challenge. I would say the COVID was a big challenge for them to get over. This is their second biggest challenge. Most baseball people think they are heading towards a lockout. That's what most baseball people think. This is a really big negotiation about the state of Major League Baseball. There are a lot of economic problems that baseball needs to address and probably needed to address a long time ago. The NBA has a hard salary cap. The NFL has a hard salary cap. The feeling, I think, with the public is that baseball needs one of those caps. And the players have been fighting it for quite some time. We will see who ultimately wins that fight. History tells you the owners will probably win it. But baseball union's a little bit different than those other ones. They don't fold as easily.
I think this will be a unique case. And I know we don't need to have a whole conversation about the lockout here. I actually think the people are on the side of the owners. Like when the NFL has a labor dispute, most people are saying, like, wait, they're playing 18 games. They don't really get a break. You know, they don't get a larger roster. They got games on Tuesdays. It's goofy. The players need a break. When it comes time to this negotiation, Rob Manfred and co. are going to be viewed as the people trying to make progress and change the game, where the players will be very much viewed as the villains who are trying to gobble every ounce of money for themselves. It'll be a very unique CBA in the fact the owners will be the protagonists and the players will be the antagonists.
Rob, did you see that Justin Bieber is going to perform at the FIFA halftime show?
With Madonna.
Yeah, you've seen Justin Bieber before. What's your favorite Justin Bieber song?
That's a great question. Mine's probably not one of like the poppy ones. I like Peaches. Okay. A little bit different. Now, when I went to the concert, it's with my now wife. She was just my girlfriend at the time. She likes Baby. That's her go-to.
She was going crazy when
she
was
going crazy for Baby. That, when he played Baby. Now, I thought to myself, he's aged out of being able to sing Baby, but he still did it. So, yeah, I've seen Justin Bieber.
Would you go see Justin Bieber again? Like, yes. If he announced he was coming back on tour, would you and Caroline, would you gas up the vehicle and drive downtown to go see Justin Bieber?
Yes. Same way we drove down there to see Katy Perry, we would go see Justin Bieber again.
That Katy Perry show was a really good show. Mm-hmm. I had a great time.
We gassed up the car out to go to Morton and saw Kesha. That, if you were popular in 2009, 2011, we will go see you in concert.
Are you and your wife thinking about going to see Post Malone and Jelly Roll?
The timing of that concert is going to stop us from going because we're trying to move, but there was conversation in the house about Jelly Roll and Post Malone.
I'm thinking about it.
It's definitely one that if the schedule breaks right, I would like to go.
I'm just thinking about it. I'm curious.
I'm surprised you want to go. That doesn't seem like your concert.
Which version of Post Malone do you think we're going to get?
That's a great question. Because the version that I imagine sings songs with Jelly Roll and like the Jelly Roll version of
the
Post
version
Malone,
of Post Malone that I would want to hear, you don't think that's the one that's performing at this show?
I don't know. It's White Iverson. Let's just say that.
He came. So he's not interested in doing the hits then.
He has hits on the other side,
he's
too.
He's not interested in doing Congratulation. He's not interested in doing Rockstar. He's not interested in doing none of those songs. I don't know any country.
He had some
Post
help.
Malone.
What was it? I had some help. He had help. That's one of the country
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, I'm just not I don't know much. I certainly don't know any Jelly Roll songs. You know some Jelly Roll?
I know one Jelly Roll song. Amen. Is that Jelly Roll? Text line's going to tell me I'm wrong. Amen, I believe, is a Jelly Roll song.
I don't know a single Jelly Roll song. I actually hate Jelly Roll for what he's done to my social media timeline. Why do I keep hearing about his ex-wife? I don't even know who that person was. Now I got to hear all these stories about her.
How does that hit your social media?
Because, you know, I follow TMZ and Cosmo and all of them. Like, you know, I got to stay up to date. I want to know what's going on. I follow Pop Crave. And now they talking about, like, why do I need to know that she was at his bar kissing on some other country singer? Like, why do I know this information?
That's a great question. Why you know so much about Jelly Roll? I am also.
I hate everybody involved in forcing me to do it. I also hate that I was liking a lot of the pictures of people that went to the Taylor Swift. So like now the algorithm thinks that's all I'm interested in, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was interested in what people wore. I was interested in who was at the actual wedding. So I was liking the picture. Like I wanted to know. Now, you know, I just get the pictures and I get the videos and I get the good and the bad. Like now they think that's all I want when I hop on there. That's not really the case. I have noticed, and you probably have seen this too, Rob, it's a lot of people who have opinions and thoughts on the Taylor Swift wedding that were not invited to the wedding. I don't know. I mean, I don't really care that much. I'm happy for them. If they're happy with their wedding, why would I be unhappy about their wedding? I wasn't getting married to the young lady.
I think it's because, I don't want to find a way to phrase this correctly. It crossed over from wedding to major social event, and people covered it the way they covered like the Emmys or the Oscars. Who got invited? What were they wearing? When did they arrive? When did they leave? Because my algorithm similar to yours, I don't know if this popped up on yours, I got a bunch of videos of person X left at this time. They didn't stay through the entire thing. They got in the car and left. Like Andy Reid didn't make it throughout their whole reception. Which
you thought Andy Reid was staying for the whole thing?
I'm like, stunner. But then the news was like, head coach didn't make it through his play. I'm like, of course not. He's like 70.
That meant Andy Reid was in bed by 11 o'clock. He saw the things. He shook hands with who he needed to shake hands with. I'm sure he met somebody he had never spoke to before, and he was out of there. I thought that Andy Reid was going to be dancing the night away. Come on now. I'm not surprised. I saw some story they ordered like 100 pizzas because it went a little later than they thought it was going to.
Apparently, there's a lot of stories out there about things that are not true at the wedding. Like I saw
I don't know.
I think it's Tavia Hunt. Maybe it's Gracie Hunt.
Yeah, I saw that. That's what I was saying. A lot of people just have comments on their wedding Correct. That weren't there. I don't know. I wasn't there.
It's like people are cheering for it to fail, but all the people who were there were like, yeah, it didn't fail. It was a great yeah. time. I'm
all
sorry
the people
it was fun.
That went to the wedding make this sound like it was a really good time. Like, I don't know. All the people that were actually in attendance are like, hey, I don't know. You probably should have been here. That's why folks is mad about it. Do you have the same opinion as me? We haven't even talked about this. I think that around Thanksgiving time, they're going to turn it into a movie.
The AMC people were there. That's a really good guess.
I think close to Thanksgiving, Christmas time, I think we will get an announcement that you will be able to go to AMC for one weekend only, and you will be able to watch the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce wedding, and it will make an exorbitant amount of money. That's what I think. I think ultimately it will be content.
Similar to when she did the Eras tour and she put the concert. That's a really...
Again, I could be wrong. I have absolutely no clue. This is just my hunch. But you do it in Madison Square Garden. There's all these celebrities. It's super private. I mean, the video of it and you showing it's probably worth between $50 and $100 million if you really want it to be. And you control it. You edit it how you want it to be edited. I think ultimately you will see professional video of this. Not just people's cell phone, not just people pictures. You will see Disney, Hulu, AMC. You will get the full video where you will be able to see their wedding. I absolutely believe that.
And for better or worse, Taylor Swift fans have shown us they will go watch her do something they've already watched her. Like, I know people who were at her concert at Arrowhead who went to go watch the Eras Tour movie. Sure. It's like, you saw the concert. Why are you going to the movie? There are people who will go watch their wedding video, if you're right. She's so private, though. Like, she's not in the – I know she's in the public eye, but she kind of does a good job of hiding from the public eye. I don't know it will be content, but I do know that if they go that route, they will make an inordinate amount of money in theaters.
Someone on the text line says, are you going to see Akon and Neo?
I think the boss gobbled up all the tickets we have for that. He loves Akon and Neo.
I know they're coming here. When are they coming here?
They're going to Morton. I think it's end of July?
August 7th.
Okay, so yeah, a little –
I might be at that show. That sounds like a kind of show I need to be at.
It's a, what, Thursday?
Yeah, I might need to be at that. Can I tell you a story? Have I told you? I don't even know if I've told you this story or not. This was from the 4th of July. So it was me, my mom, my sister, and two of her friends. And we were riding to our 4th of July festivities, and we were all in the car. Well, I was driving, so I was playing some music. You know, my mom's in the car, so I mean, we're not playing nothing, you know, inappropriate, but we're playing like 2000s rap, 2000s pop, you know.
No Jelly Roll in this playlist?
No Jelly Roll. Not a single Jelly Roll. Like T-Pain, Usher, you know, that kind of stuff. 2000s rap and pop music. And my sister's friend, while we're playing this, she says, I really love this kind of music. I really love the music that you guys listen to during the recession. I love recession rap is what she called it. I turned the radio off. What'd you say? She was like, you know what I mean? I mean, music you guys listened to when you were alive during the recession. It's like, no, I heard you. I'm just trying to understand what that means. Everybody started laughing in the car. Rob, that's what we call that kind of music now? That's how the young people see that kind of music? They see it as that kind of, they see it as housing bubble music? They see it as recession music? That's how they, that's how the kids hear Bartender by T-Pain? That's how they hear it?
I'm still hung up on the idea that when you guys were around for the recession.
That's what she said. I'm serious.
She's making it sound like it was the Dust Bowl. It was like 15 years ago. That ain't that long ago.
I'm just telling you what the kid said. I mean, I assume she's around my sister's age, 22, 23 years old. Yes, she said that. That's what she said. She said T-Pain was recession music. And I really started to feel some kind of way. Obviously, she's right. Like, I can't deny. I mean, the time period, it does line up with what she's saying, but I've just never heard it described as that way. And it made it sound like it was a really long time ago, because it probably is a long time ago. It certainly is to them, but that's just a wild way of describing it.
I'm now curious, is like, do people who were big then and big now still count as recession rap? Like Usher was hot during the recession. Is he recession rap, or is he bigger because he had the residency? Yeah, I have so many questions.
I don't know. I told you the story the one time me and my mom and my sister were in the car. I started playing You Remind Me by Usher, and then, you know, I was like, Danielle, you never even heard this song before. And she looked at me and said, I wasn't even alive when this song came out. It's like, what? Hold on. Like, I mean, I know when that album came out, and I know when her birthday is, but it just didn't compute. You weren't even alive when Usher was Usher. You don't even know. You have no clue. Somebody said, C-Dot, she was talking about the recession like it was the Great Depression. If you're 22 years old, I would understand why you look at the recession like the Great Depression. That would make sense to me. I would understand it. I couldn't believe that she said that. I was really taken aback by that. I really was.
Did you start playing even older stuff just to spite her?
No, I wasn't going to do that. That's hurting me now at that point. I'm not going to hurt myself.
Here's Man in the Mirror from...
Oh, we love a little Michael Jackson in the car, you know? I love a little PYT in the car. You know, brings the family together, a little Thriller album. All right, coming up on the other side, we're going to talk a little bit of NBA and where LeBron can potentially go. Today is the 16-year anniversary of the decision. We'll get to it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
On your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
All right, welcome back into the show. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about the World Cup, but just from a little bit of a different perspective. There's two things that I want to do in this segment. We will do thing one right now. This is what I would like to do. I think everybody has been in this situation before. Have you ever been out with your friends and you were having a really, really good time? The drinks were flowing, good conversation. Everybody was just having a lot of fun. Maybe you made the decision of, hey, we're at Harpo's. Why don't we go across the street to Gamble's? And you continued to have a really, really good, fun time. You're out. You're having a beer. You're with your friends, you're laughing, everybody's joking with each other. It's great. Have you ever then looked at what time it was? It was kind of late. And then you started thinking to yourself, I kind of want to go home. Your friends wanted you to continue to be out. Oh, hey, you know, we're going to go down here to Kelly's. You were like, no, it's 2 o'clock. I've had my drinks. I'm about to call my Uber and I'm about to go home. That's where you need to be. You need to go home. That's how I feel about LeBron right now. LeBron, you've had your fun. You have. You've won 4 championships. You've been to 10 NBA finals. You've won 5 MVPs. You got to play with your son. You're the all-time leading scorer. You've had like 25 Nike signature shoes. LeBron, I don't really know why you're still out with the rest of us. It's time to go home. LeBron, all I want you to do is this. I want you to just go play with Cleveland. Can you do that for me? Can you go play for Cleveland? I don't want to hear about the Warriors. I mean, I'd even leave if you went to the Heat, I'd be fine with that. But I just want you to go to one of those two places. I want you to go home, and I want you to finish out your career. Can you do that for me? But I'm afraid. I'm afraid LeBron is going to go to Philadelphia. I really am. I want to play this piece of audio for you. This is Shams on the possible landing spots for where LeBron could play next.
When I talk to teams around the league, when I do my research, the teams that continue to come up are Cleveland, Miami, Philadelphia after they got the Jaylen Brown. Like, Philadelphia was not in the picture. And I think that's why this is somewhat a true free agency for LeBron James, because he didn't go into it with a calculation in mind, a plan in place, because, you know, you leave the Lakers, you don't necessarily know what your value is. There's not like a guaranteed max that he's walking into. There's not a guaranteed $20, $30 million salary slot that you're walking into. So you have to be open-minded. So when the Sixers got Jaylen Brown, I did some research and I found out within 24 hours, like, he's taking their pitch really seriously. And so I look at it when I talk to teams now as kind of a hierarchy of Cleveland, Miami, Philadelphia. And then I think there's some teams on the periphery.
I probably have told you guys this story. I'll tell you again because it's certainly been a while. When I was in high school, I had three posters on my wall. I had the Muhammad Ali poster standing over Sonny Liston. I mean, you know that picture. You've seen that picture a million times. I had a Britney Spears picture. I used to love Britney Spears. I really did. I loved her so much. I saw Crossroads in theaters. That's how much I loved Britney Spears at a time in my life.
You tried to get me to watch Crossroads like 10 times.
Fantastic movie. I would watch Crossroads today, actually. And I had a LeBron James poster. I love LeBron. I really do. He's my favorite athlete. Like, if you were saying rank all of your athletes all time, LeBron would be number one on the list. I love LeBron. LeBron, if you go to Philadelphia, everything that people have said about you in relation to this will 100% be true. You're a bandwagon fan. You're a team hopper. You had no interest in Philadelphia, and now they got Jaylen Brown, and now you want to go play with them? Come on, LeBron. Don't do that. Come on now. Please don't do that. That's still trying to be outside. You're now trying to go to another bar. Now you're trying to go down to Power and Light. Bro, just go home. No. You were just at Shark Bar. You were just at PBR. Now you want to go to Mosaic? Go home. Just go play with Cleveland, please. Go play with Cleveland. Finish out this last year. They'll build a statue of you. Whether it's the block on Iguodala or you doing the chalk. And it'll be great. It'll be amazing. Your kids will be there. Your wife will be there. Your mom will be there. It'll be the perfect close to your story. You started in Cleveland. You left. You came back. You had the defining basketball play of the 21st century. And you come home to do your farewell tour. Please, LeBron, don't go to Philadelphia, dog. I can't. LeBron, I will love you less if that's what you do. I will. I will love you less. Because everything that people have said about you, I got to start looking at them like, man, maybe you were right. It's just bandwagon, team hopping behavior. I can't support that. Go play for San Antonio. Go play for Denver. Go play for the Spurs if you're going to do that. Please don't go play for Philadelphia. Please don't go do that. All right, Rob. You know what? Did you know that today is National Video Game Day? Maybe you didn't know that. But today
I had no idea.
Today is, I made a list. I made a list of my five favorite sports video games, and I want to share it with you. Rob, hit some music. All right, Rob, this is my personal top five. This is not what I think the top five is. These are the five sports video games that I had the closest relationship with.
Are we doing years, or like if Madden's on there, is it just Madden?
I'm giving you the years.
Oh, all right.
I'm giving you the years.
Got it.
This is no order, because I don't want to argue about the order. MVP Baseball 2005. I loved that game. You guys might remember Zach Greinke on there. That curveball was next level. I would play MVP baseball right now if they updated the rosters. I'm sure somebody has done this, but if you put the current rosters on that version of the game, I would play it right now. I love MVP baseball. You got to remember where we were at in the early mid-2000s. The idea of using the analog stick to swing the baseball bat or swing a golf club or throw a punch in fight night was revolutionary ideas. MVP baseball 2005. I can still hear that Dropkick Murphy song on the title screen. Tessie, love that game. MVP baseball 2005 on my list. Rob, Madden 2004. Some might argue 05 is a little bit better, but 04 with Michael Vick on the cover was just, that's when Madden was at his absolute peak. Madden was at its peak from 03, 04, and 05. 05 is really just 04, but they added the hit stick where you could just really just lay a guy out. Oh, Madden 2004 was phenomenal. We got to the point where you couldn't even play with the Falcons anymore. You had to pick a different team. I used to run with the Minnesota Vikings on that team. You had Dante Culpepper, Moss was on there. They had this formation shotgun tight. They had Michael Bennett I would sub in because he was like a 98 speed at running back. I played a lot of Madden 2004.
That's also the one where you had to click the button and it
Playmaker.
Yeah.
Playmaker was, I'm telling you, revolutionary ideas. The greatest two basketball games of all time. NBA Street Volume 2. NBA Street Volume 2 is perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. From the graphics, to the gameplay, to the soundtrack, to the love of basketball culture, to the parks, to the legends, to the jerseys, NBA Street Volume 2 is a perfect video game. NBA Jam. I have an NBA Jam machine in my apartment. I love NBA Jam. Now on there, I play with the Golden State Warriors. I run a little Tim Hardaway and Chris Mullin. Chris Mullin can do everything on that game. He can shoot threes. He can block shots. He can steal. I will beat any of you in NBA Jam if you give me the Golden State Warriors. And Rob, I don't know if this counts as a sports video game, but I'm counting it on my list. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2.
That's sports.
I think Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 is a sports game. It took everything that was amazing about the first one and did it 5 times better in the second one. That's my top five list. National Video Game Day. These are my five, my personal five favorite sports video games. Madden 2004, MVP Baseball 2005, NBA Street Volume 2, NBA Jam, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. That's my list.
The fact there's not a single college football game on there is a little bit of a travesty.
Yeah, Madden was better than the college football game at that time. It got better. I mean, I think the college football game got better than Madden. I don't think it was better than Madden during that era. It was fun, though. But NCAA during that time was something you only really played for 5 to 6 weeks. Then Madden would come out, and then we all would just switch over to Madden and then play Madden for the rest of the NFL season. I liked college football during then. I loved Madden during this period. That's my list. I'd be curious to see you guys' list. 913-586-7965. Today is National Video Game Day. Want to give you guys my top five sports video games. Coming up at the top of the hour, we talk about the World Cup, but not like that. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped mussel oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!